Well, in just a couple of minutes, we'll be receiving your morning offering. Just one quick reminder, ladies, don't forget you've got brunch, Titus 2 brunch, I believe, coming up Saturday morning. So make sure that you're here on Saturday morning to enjoy the food and the fellowship and everything together with the other ladies. So if you would join me in a word of prayer, and then we'll be receiving the offerings here. Father, we are so grateful to you for your great love, the depths of your love, your mercy we can't comprehend. We thank you for the wonder of your plan, and as we have just sung, we look forward to the day when you split the heavens and you return. We thank you, Father, that there is forgiveness with you, that as we turn to you and cry to you for mercy and in confession, that you have promised forgiveness. And above all, Father, that you have granted forgiveness and cleansing and redemption through the blood of your Son that was spilled for us on the cross. Father, we do pray that you would help us as we go through our days, that we would learn more and more how to continually look to you and to put our hope, our trust in you for all the trials and things that come our way. And we do think of Jack Quick this morning in the hospital and pray that you would strengthen him and that he would be able to recover quickly. Pray for Juanita and the rest of the family too, to have that comfort and hope and assurance that you offer for us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together here with other believers of like heart and like mind. And do pray for Grady as he brings teaching from your word later this morning, that you would give him clarity of thought and words, that you would open our hearts and our minds to be able to receive it, and give us hearts that are submissive to you and hearts that respond to you in a way that would honor you. As we receive offerings this morning, we're reminded of many blessings that you have given us, and that we are able to return to you a portion of what you've already given us. And we pray that you would use that for the furtherance of missionaries like the Lushes and the Powells and others around the world. And we do pray for the Lushes and the Powells, and pray for the Denny's and the Renners while they're there with them for a few days. Pray that you would bless their efforts, keep them safe while they're traveling. Think of so many others, Father, in our midst who are traveling this morning too, and just do ask for really a time of enjoyment for those who are traveling with others and good fellowship, and pray for your hand to be with them and in safety and as they travel. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Silence all my sleeping, Lord. So today we're going to be talking about fear. And how many of you were afraid of something this week? Oh, come on, raise your hands. Everyone, we experience fear almost every day of our life over something. Fear is a good warning for us that we're entering something that we should not be doing. It also helps us remember that there are things that cause punishment for us if we disobey, and sometimes we fear that. Is there a lot of echo in this thing? Okay. I thought maybe it was just my ears going crazy. So today, what I want to look at the concept of fear. I'm not looking at the concept of fearing the Lord. What I want to do is look at the aspect of fear in our daily lives and what we can do to combat that and to not wander around this earth as people that are afraid all the time. And I think Scripture gives us some good guidance for that. First, I want to look at some scripture that demonstrates where throughout the Bible people have been afraid of different things. Then I'd like to look at some verses that talk about what God desires our response to fear to be. And then finally, the verse of all verses that talks about casting out fear. And we'll talk about that. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come to you and we are truly a thankful people that you have provided a way for us, that we no longer have to be afraid of punishment for our sins, that you've provided a way to allow us to be in a right relationship with you again. As we look at this concept of fear in Scripture, just help us to realize that you are the place that we can go and our fears can be released. So just be with us as we look at your Scripture this morning and pray that it encourages us and draws us nearer to you. Amen. Ooh. What are our fears based on most of the time? Are we fearful because we're guilty? Are we fearful because the circumstances seem overwhelming to us and we just can't figure out a way to make it through and get those things done? Are we anticipating that there's something out there that can harm us? Is there something there that will cause us extreme pain or discomfort? What is it that causes us to fear? It's quite a variety of things. What I wanted to do was look at some of the top fears that man has. These are from a study from Chapman University. I don't know if you can read those really well. The first one is, can't even read my slide. Public speaking. I'm doing what most people are afraid of. And I work at a university where everyone's required to take public speaking. And there are many, many people that they stand up in front of people and their brains go blank. Their knees are shaking. They just can't speak. That's the number one fear. Second one is heights. There's a few people in this room that are afraid of heights. next one are like bugs and snakes and creepy crawly things. A lot of people are afraid of those. You know, I'm really surprised mice didn't make this list, but maybe they're in there. In the Bible, the word fear is used 437 times. And the word afraid is used another 165 times. If you look at like you do a word search, you'll find that either the word fear or afraid is in about 62 of the 66 different books of the Bible. And some places it is real prevalent. Psalms, a lot of talk about being afraid and looking to God as our refuge. So there's lots of examples in Scripture about fear or being afraid. Let's start off with a few definitions of fear. I'm going to look at three basic words: fear, afraid, and anxious. And if you think about those three words, they all kind of overlap, and we use them interchangeably a lot. So the first definition we're going to look at is the word fear. If you see the slide, it says a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, whether the threat is real or imagined. The feeling or condition of being afraid. Unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by the anticipation or awareness of danger. A lot of times when life gets too chaotic and we feel like we're getting out of control, we start to fear things. Most people don't like fear, but yet if you look at the way people react, you will see that people that are afraid of heights, and I know Mark did this, he ziplined across a big old cavern, one of those valley, canyon, that's the word I'm looking for. And he did it because Luann made him. So as we think about fear, although we don't like fear, we will do things that produce fear within us. People will watch scary movies. They'll watch adventurous movies where things jump out of them, like in Jurassic Park and stuff like that. And they like that brief moment of fear because it makes their emotions start going and adrenaline keep pumping. But the problem is, psychologists say that the more you expose yourself to your fear, the least fearful you're going to be about that. But it never deals with the root of your fear. And Scripture shows us how to deal with the root problem of fear. And that's what hopefully we'll see this morning. Second word is afraid. It's a feeling of fear filled with apprehension. For me, afraid a lot of times is more circumstantial. I get myself into a situation, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen next, and I find myself becoming very apprehensive, not doing anything, because I'm kind of like paralyzed by not knowing what choice to make. A lot of times I'm afraid I'll make the wrong choice, I'll say the wrong thing, I'll do something that makes me look foolish in the front of other people. Next definition is anxious. Full of mental distress or uneasiness because of fear of danger or misfortune, greatly worried. To me, anxious has more to do with the mental aspect of we put ourselves through when we're not certain about what action to take. We become very, very anxious about something. I work with people that experience a lot of anxiety when it comes time to take tests at the university. And they will describe going into the room, they'll say, you know, I studied for 3 days for this test. I go in, I open the door, I sit down to take my test, and my mind goes completely blank. And I'm so anxious, I can't even answer one question on the test. And so we work with them on some techniques to let them be less anxious. But that anxiety is really real for them, and they can't get around it. And I think a lot of times we do that with whether you want to use the word fear, afraid, or anxious, we let that paralyze us and stop us from moving forward. It stops us from going to the Word. It stops us from talking with other people about our fears. And so what we want to do this morning is hopefully expose some of those things. The last week and a half or so, I've been asking people a couple of questions. I've asked them, of what are you afraid? And then also, what do you fear? Because I think those are two different things. Here are some of the answers to what are you afraid of, or whatever are you afraid? Running out of money, especially like in retirement ages and stuff like that. Do I have enough money to survive and live a long time? Large bodies of open water. They don't want to be on a boat in the middle where they can't see the shoreline. Something about that big open body of water scares them. Spiders. A lot of people are afraid of spiders. Heights. Drowning. Drowning was one on that first list too, which never really thought about. Snakes. And intimacy is another one that people are afraid of. What do you fear? Death of a spouse. Being alone in retirement years. Something happening to either their children or their grandchildren. And this was written down a couple of times for me. Man's approval. That's probably one of the things that I struggle with the most is the approval of man. And so a lot of times I don't hit things head on. I run around bushes till I can find a solution to the problem. But I don't like people not liking me. I want everyone to like me because I'm such a nice guy. So not finding the right job. I asked a couple of college students, and this was one of theirs. Their big fear of once they graduate college, am I going to have a job that is going to provide for me, provide for my family? And then just the unknown. What's going to happen tomorrow? For some people, that's a very anxious, fear-producing thing. So let's look at a couple of different examples in Scripture. We're going to go through five passages and look at the circumstance, and then why they were fearful. First one goes all the way back to Genesis. If you look at first few chapters of Genesis, you'll see that God created the earth. He created everything, and when he rested, he looked at everything he had created and he said it was good. And then we get into the garden. And in the garden, Adam and Eve rebel against God. And so in Genesis 3, 8 through 10, we read this. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. From the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your sound as you of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God asked him, "How did?" Totally lost my train of thought there. Back up. Adam knew that he had broken God's law, and he was feeling guilty. And instead of facing God straight on and saying, "I've rebelled against you," and repenting, he decided to hide from God. And we find ourselves doing that a lot. So out of guilt here, Adam is fearful of God. In Exodus, we see the people of Israel when they're by the Red Sea, God has just delivered them from Egypt. And he's taken them out in the desert and they're going across. And now at this point in time, they have the Red Sea behind them, and or in front of them, and coming up from behind them are Pharaoh and all of his armies. And this is how the people reacted. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" These people were terrified. They thought just because they came up against an obstacle that God was not going to work, not provide for them. And as a result of that, they were extremely afraid. And not just one of them, but all of them were extremely afraid for not trusting in God, not allowing God to be the one to protect them. I often wonder what I would have done in the desert. I probably would have been there screaming right alongside of them, you know, because they had never experienced God's deliverance through water before or through fire. This is something new for them. It's a brand new experience. They have been slaves for a lot of years, and they have a fear of Pharaoh and his army. And they can't see beyond their present circumstance. Let's talk about giants for a minute. Do you guys ever hear of a guy named Robert Tilton? He used to be a well-known TV evangelist, but he's also very off. He's not sound doctrinally. One of my friends one time put my name on a card list saying I wanted to get information from Robert Tilton on a regular basis. So every month I would get something in the mail. One week I got a little bitty stone. I mean, really small. And what I was supposed to do, I was supposed to pray all my fears into this stone. Then I was supposed to send it back to him and they would pray for me. And that, by praying into this stone, it would slay all the giants in my life. It's not how it works. But a lot of people sent those little stones back, I'm pretty sure. But here we have Saul and the whole army of Israel ready to go to battle, and this giant Philistine comes out and challenges them. And in this first verse here, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, Saul had been king for a while, and he had seen a lot of victories in battle. Why was this one different? What was it that was keeping him from being the leader of the army and just doing it? What are you supposed to do? His lack of faith. His lack of faith to defeat his enemies. David later on says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the head of this Philistine, from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." David had faith. David had faith that God was going to allow him to slay his giant. And if you look in other scriptures after this, you'll find that there were four other giants that were slain. It seems like after David demonstrated faith, other people were able to do the same thing and slay some other giants. But we come up against an obstacle that looks so big, so formidable before us. Our faith fades away and we don't trust God. That's something that we need to learn to do. Let's go to the New Testament and let's look at Mary. Now, Mary's a young teenage girl. And the angel comes to her. And I'm thinking, what would that be like? What would it be like to be in a room or be someplace and an angel appears in front of you? Would you be like all happy and giddy? Or would you be afraid? I mean, how would you react? I don't know how I would react. But the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." If you look at a verse before this, it says that Mary was troubled. And if you look up that word, that talks about being agitated or alarmed. Like someone snuck up on you and all of a sudden you're just momentarily you're scared. And so the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Calm down. I'm with you. We'll take care of this." And the angel calmed her down. So Mary experienced fear, I think, because of the unknown. She didn't know what was going on, but God provided a way to comfort her, and luckily she was responded correctly. And as a result, Christ was born, which is a good thing for all of us. But fear came into her life also. Peter. Now, Peter I can identify with very well, because I usually speak first, think second, and then thirdly try to get my way out of the situation. Peter here, the situation is that Jesus has been working with the crowds all day or talking to the crowds all day, and he sends the disciples across the lake. And he finishes talking with the people, and he's going to come across the lake. Well, during the middle of the night, there's a storm, and the apostles have been fighting, trying to get the boat to go where it needs to go. And all of a sudden, they see this figure walking on the water. And it says the disciples were afraid because they thought that they were seeing a ghost. And then when Jesus spoke, they recognized it was him. And Peter says, "Let me come walk on the water with you." And here's the response. He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So doubt is another reason why we fear sometimes. We doubt that God's going to provide for us or work for us. And so we doubt, and then we become fearful. I think this is going to be kind of something that we battle our entire lives, is becoming afraid. We will struggle with always having faith. We'll look at the circumstances like Peter did around him, and we will be distracted. We will doubt, and we will not trust the way that we need to. The Bible gives us a lot of guidance on how we should respond to fear, how we can overcome it. And there are examples in the Old Testament, and there are examples in the New Testament of verses that encourage us to trust in God and not to be fearful as we go through this life. So I want to look at a few verses. The first one is a pretty simple one, I think. A way to get fear out of our lives. One of the reasons we are afraid of things is because we think we're going to get punished. If we look at Romans 13:3, it says this, "For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. A lot of times we break the law, we do something wrong, and we revert back to the way Adam dealt with it. We try to hide ourselves from it. We try to ignore that we've done something wrong. Very simple answer. If you don't want to be punished for doing stuff wrong, don't do it. Children, it says, obey your parents, and your life will be good. For parents out there, or adults out there, obey the authorities that are over you. So, don't drive faster than the speed limit and get a ticket unless you want to be punished. I mean, it's very simple. There are some things that we can do that can help us of being afraid. One of those is obeying the leaders around us, even if we don't think they know what they're doing sometimes. We still need to obey leaders because God has placed them over us. If you have been doing the fighter versus memory stuff, you will start to notice next, I'm going to have quite a few fighter verses in here. God is our Savior is the next one. I found that this verse very, very comforting as we memorized it. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In that verse, you, I think, is used 8 times. When something is used that many times in a short period of time, it probably means there's something significant. And if you look at this, look at the things that God has done. He's redeemed us. He's called us. He's made us His. He's going to protect us through the water and fire, through different types of trials and tribulations. And He's done it because He is the Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel. So He promises that He will not let any circumstances overtake us. He will provide a way for us to get through it. Next one is similar to this. It's out of Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God promises to give us strength and ability to overcome obstacles when we are fearful. Whatever circumstance we enter, God is able to help us. I think of the last phrase, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Thinking of God's power, the right arm is always the power of the person. And I'm thinking of how powerful Christ is and that He's going to protect us with His right powerful arm. Which brings us to another fighter verse memory verse just a couple of weeks ago. We are His sheep. Out of John 10:27, it says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I find this very, very comforting to know that once we are Christ, nothing can take us away from Him. We don't have to fear losing our salvation. We don't have to fear that someone's going to come and take us away from Christ because we are in His hand. and nothing can remove us from his hand. So that should provide some comfort for us, knowing that we are secure in him. The next one is out of Romans 8, and it talks about God adopting us as children. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Since we have been born again, since we have the Spirit indwelling within us, we no longer have to be slaves to sin. We are now sons of God. As a child, I don't know what your father was like, but my father was kind of the father that never really told us that he loved us. I don't remember a time my father coming to me saying, I love you. I remember saying, I'm proud of you. I think we've trained you well. I think you have a good mind or whatever. But I don't remember him coming up and saying, I love you. But a lot of the things my dad did demonstrated that he cared for me deeply or that he loved me. So I never really doubted my father's love. But I can remember as a child, or like in between 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I can remember our family did a lot of camping and a lot of hunting with my dad. And I always remember being out in the woods and feeling perfectly safe, like nothing could harm me because I was with my dad. And I think this is what he's talking about here, is that now that we've been born into the kingdom of God, we can have absolute rest, and we can go to him with the most intimate term of Abba, Father. We don't have to be afraid because we know that he can protect us. We know that he's there for us all the time. The Spirit will enable us, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul here in this passage is praying for Timothy, and he's praying for boldness and power for Timothy as he ministers to others. God gives us that same spirit of power, of love, and of self-control, and we can rely on that as we minister to other people. We don't have to be afraid of sharing the gospel or any of those things, because we know that there's going to be persecution. But we also know that God has given us the power to endure that. So if we all experience fear on a regular basis, if God has encouraged us not to be afraid because he's with us, he cares for us, he holds us in his hand, what's next? How do we deal with fear as we go through life? I think one of the core values of man is that he wants to be right with God. I think if you talk with a lot of people that don't know Christ, they would deny that. But I think it's the core principle in our life. I think God has demonstrated, we were talking yesterday at Next Gen, we were talking about that God has demonstrated himself to us in nature, through the scriptures, through testimonies of other people. There are lots of things that point us towards God. A lot of people rebel and run away the other way. What I think is great is that God has demonstrated for us a way to where we don't have to be fearful in this world. If you talk with a lot of people that are in business or that don't know the Lord, they are afraid of a lot of things because they have no one, they have no place to go, no place to rest for assurance that their needs are going to be met. If we look at 1 John 4:17-19, think it demonstrates to us why we can have confidence and why we don't have to live in fear in this world. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is so, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If you look at this verse, on our own, we cannot love perfectly. We can only love perfectly because Christ loved us, and we can love him. Once we are in that right relationship with God, we don't have to worry about punishment. We don't have to worry about hell. We can focus in on living in eternity with him. God, because of his perfect love for us, and his mercy and his grace, provided a way for us to have eternal life and to have eternal life with him. It's only through that process that he loved us first that we can even draw near to him. And so, if one of man's greatest fears is to be separated from God, God has provided a way for man to be reconciled to himself. And that's through the death, burial, resurrection of his son. We all have experienced love from another person. What we need to do what we need to do is look back at those things that cause fear in us and develop a plan on how we can deal with those circumstances. A couple of years ago, our 1A group went through a little book called The Red Sea Rules. And basically what this book does is it looks at the children of Israel as they are being brought out of Egypt into the desert and the different situations that they went through. And it gives 10 practical principles that we can look at and start applying to our lives. One of the things that you were supposed to do as you went through this study was to say, what is the one thing in my life right now that is causing me the most fear, or that is holding me back? And then as you went through this book, you were supposed to see if you could take those principles and apply them to your daily life. Since going through this book, I've torn my shoulder up and I had to go through surgery, but that wasn't what I was afraid of. What I was afraid of when we first started doing this book was, how is God going to take care of me when I'm older, when I'm retired? How is God going to take care of me? Janet and I don't have kids, so we can't say, oh, they will take care of us when we're old. So we're going to adopt some kids somewhere along the way. But the point of this book is to say, okay, when you find yourself in a situation that you're unsure of or that you're afraid, what are the things that I can do or that we can do to start looking back at God and trusting God to deliver us from the situation? My biggest fear was retirement. What am I going to do when I retire and stuff? And applying those principles as we went through the book, retirement is no longer a fear of mine. And so I would encourage you, as you think about the different fear in your life, think about getting this book and reading through it. Think about going through scripture and looking at all the times that God tells us he's going to protect us as we go through life. Fear is always going to be a part of us because, I mean, we're just not perfect yet. We just can't always do it the right way. And we need to learn to recognize when we are being fearful or we are being afraid of something, and we need to turn to Scripture. That's the only way that we're going to deal with fear in our life. Think about this book. Think about getting the Red Sea Rules. Show simple reading. And it's very encouraging. But also, as we think about fear today, don't take your little stone and pray about fear. Don't do that. Go to Scripture. Look at what Scripture says about fear and overcoming fear. And allow the Word of God to be the pacifier for you. The one that can calm your fears and get you back on the right path and not be paralyzed by fear. Let's pray. Father, we are truly thankful that you have provided a way for us to not be fearful in our lives, that you have provided a way of salvation for us so that we don't have to fear punishment at the end of our lives on this earth, but Father, that we can look to eternity of being with you and realizing that on this world there's nothing that can keep us from you, nothing that can take us away from you. So as we go through this next week, as we start to experience fear or being afraid of something, help us to turn to your Scripture and allow it to work in our lives and change us, and to trust and rest in you on a daily basis. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Grady, for that teaching on fear, and hopefully this week we can keep our eyes more on Christ and not on our fears of those high places that make me a little squirmish. We're going to take about 15 minutes to gather in the back to fellowship and encourage one another, so let's do that. And following that, we have our e-classes, which are over this way. If you're a guest, we'd love to have you stay and join us, one of us, some of us in those meetings and teaching. So let's greet those guests and let's gather in the back for some fellowship.